Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Now, John, which we're going to talk about him in a moment, his name is Yohanan, never wanted to set the attention to himself. He always directed the attention to the person of the Mashiach, the Messiah. And really, he became like a voice. Kol kore bamidbar, the voice crying in the wilderness. He's crying and he desired to prepare the way for the Lord, for the Messiah who would come right now to restore Israel, to establish redemption for all humanity. And he became like a voice, a voice. He was just a messenger of the Lord. And you notice what he's crying. Where does he cry? He cried in the wilderness. Not only that he was living in the wilderness of Judea, there below by the Dead Sea, by the Jordan River, but the condition of humanity was dry as in the wilderness. In a weary, dry and weary land. We know very well, brothers and sisters, the spiritual condition, both of Israel in those days and in general in the whole world today, is dry. Is like in a wilderness. There's no thirst for the things of God. I don't know who was telling me, I think last night we talked a little bit and we were talking about the fact that wherever we go outside of our meeting halls and we go out to the world, hardly anyone want to talk about God. Hardly anyone want to open the Bible. It's not that we accuse anybody, but it's the condition that existed in a world in which we live in. And it's still today. It's like a wilderness where the cry, prepare because God is coming, the Mashiach is coming, the Messiah is coming. And you and I can admit that at times in our very own hearts, we are like dry. There is no fresh, you might say, thirst for the things of God. We, at time when we are away from the Lord, are like wilderness. The voice of one. Where does he cry? He cries in the wilderness. What does he say? He says, get ready. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's coming. The Mashiach is coming. The Messiah is coming. You know, when Isaiah quoted that, our Jewish people were just going to be taken to captivity in Babylon 700 years before the Messiah came. And as far as Isaiah was concerned, he was preaching to the Jewish people saying, listen, get ready because you are going to be restored back to the land. But it was a far-reaching message beyond even the time of 700 or so BC. It was speaking about the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah, get ready. The Mashiach is coming. The Messiah is coming. And so the voice, the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, if we are going to preach today to someone about the Lord, he or she need also to prepare their hearts. Because the hearts of men by nature is dry. We spoke yesterday also in our conversation that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness unto him or unto her. He cannot unless the Spirit of God stirring them up. And a person needs to be ready to repent before the Lord, to get ready to confess and to say, God, I need you in my life. And so that was the message of the number one, the messenger in verse 2. Number 2, the voice. Notice he's called the messenger and the voice. That's the one that was promised to come. And lo and behold, beloved brothers and sisters, when the time had arrived, this messenger came. And this messenger was none else but Yohanan Hamadbil, John the Baptizer. In fact, the next verse, notice in verse 4, we find out the first time the name of that messenger. What is his name? Is Yohanan, John. Now, it is interesting because the Hebrew meaning of the word Yohanan means Jehovah had mercy, had grace. His name gave a message to mankind. I am a messenger. I am a voice for God on behalf of the coming Messiah. Even my name suggests that God is willing to extend grace to all humanity, to Israel, and to all the people of the world. Wherever they are, God is stretching up his arm. He's introducing the Messiah, the Redeemer, who is going to come to serve and to ultimately become a sacrifice for mankind. So, notice his name. You notice that it says in verse 4, the name of this messenger, this voice, his name is Yohanan, John in English, Yohanan in Hebrew. And what was he doing? According to verse 4, it says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached. What was he preaching? He was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. See, John, you see, he was down in the wilderness. It is very interesting. He was not preaching in Yerushalayim, in the temple. Because in the temple in Jerusalem, what happened? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians have took over, and they were the ones who were the leaders of the people of Israel. But apparently, because they have deviated from that which was spoken about by the prophets of Israel, they did not lead our own nation, the Jewish people, in the right direction, spiritually speaking, to the God who had promised to send the Messiah. So by that time, John, instead of being up there in Jerusalem, you would think he will preach, hey, in Jerusalem, right in the temple area. But what does he do? He's not going to preach there. He went all the way down from Jerusalem, all the way down to the area of the Dead Sea, there by the Jordan River, where it was desert. In that desert place, there are all those people who were living, you might say, not staying in Jerusalem. They are there like a nomad. He was there like a Bedouin, we say in Hebrew, living there by the desert area. And there we find out that he was preaching. He was speaking the word of God. He was preaching. And not only that, he preached and he baptized. And it's called the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And the Hebrew word, of course, is come from the word lehitavel. He was not called John the Baptist, because he was not a Baptist. He was called Yohanan, John the Baptizer, because his activity was to immerse people. Notice it says, immerse people, baptizing or immersing them for those who have confess their sins, for the forgiveness of sins. In a sense, the ministry of that messenger or that voice that we read about in those two verses, Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 40 verse 3, those two expressions about him is what that he was simply one that is presenting God and God's word to the nation of Israel, getting them ready for the coming of the Messiah. And I think it is so beautiful to see. Notice he said he was baptizing in them in the wilderness, preaching the baptism of repentance. What is to repent? To repent is to turn around, to take side with God against oneself, to recognize that we have been wrong and God is right, and to repent of our sins and to turn to the Lord. That is exactly, beloved brothers and sisters, what you and I did when we turned to Yeshua the Messiah. We said to God, God, I can't be right with you on my own. I know my heart and you know my heart. And on my own, I know I deserve to be punished. I have sinned before you, God. And I want you to forgive my sins. That is a repentance. An honest, sincere repentance. In every generation, dear beloved brothers and sisters, God knows our hearts. You cannot be a child of God, a person that have a relationship with God, until God is revealing our condition to us and we take side with God. The Hebrew word to repent is the word shuv or shuvu, turn around. Shuv, come back to God. Turn around from your evil way and you turn around and you turn back to God and you admit your condition and accepting His provision and His forgiveness. How many a time the people of Israel historically cry to the nation of Israel, turn around, repent, repent. Again and again, God is saying to our own people Israel to turn around and turn back to Him. Go to Jeremiah with me for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah was preaching as well, and he was by the word of the Lord speaking to Israel years ago when they were taken captive to Babylon. Look what he says, Jeremiah, in chapter 3. In verse 14, notice he said, turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord. The word for turn is shuvu, shuvu, turn back, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married unto you. Here's the husband of the people of Israel, Israel called the wife of Jehovah. I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, to Zion. Shuvu, shuvu, turn, all backsliding children. Shuvu banim shovavim. It's like we would tell to our own children who may have gone astray, turn around. Turn back to the right way. Return, O Israel. Many times we read it in Scripture. Also, Ezekiel in chapter 14, he was speaking to our people of old, turn around, shuvu, come back to the Lord. This is exactly what Yohanan did there in the wilderness. He was John baptized in the wilderness, and he preached. He was preaching. He was sharing with the people of Israel, the people of Judah, down there in the desert, the message of repentance. That's why baptism, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, the evidence that they repented and turned back to the Lord was the fact that they externally went under immersion and they really confessed their sin. You see, this is not yet believers' baptism as we know it from later on in the Gospels, but this is what is called the baptism unto repentance. They needed to repent and admit that they have sinned and turn away from their evil doings. And you can just imagine, you would think nobody will come to John. If I want to go and turn to God, I'm going to go to the temple in Yerushalayim. There you have the priests. There you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There we have the place that God have chosen for our nation Israel. But John didn't go there. He went down because the spiritual condition was not in a way that it should have been. You know, it reminds me also a little bit later on about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He went all the way to Jerusalem and then he turned back. And he went back sitting on his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. And he must have been very discouraged, because when he went to Jerusalem to worship the Lord and he was assuming that he will find the Messiah, Israel would be in a condition that he could enjoy that which God had intended for Israel, but he was rather sad and disappointed because things were not as they should have been. So he turned back. And then if you remember, Philip came to him and said to him, what are you reading? And he said, Isaiah the prophet. And he took the very passage of the prophet Isaiah 53, speaking about the Messiah. He was wounded for our transgression, speaking about the sufferings of the Messiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. There are other verses that he read there from Isaiah, but I'm just quoting some of this passage in Isaiah. And then he have accepted that Yeshua was the Messiah. And so here's the same. John, Yohanan, the baptizer, Yohanan HaMatbil, did not do so in Jerusalem. He went all the way down to the Jordan in the wilderness, and there he was preaching, saying, Shuvu, turn back, repent, repent, because the Messiah is coming. He repent for forgiveness of sins. And so we find out, beloved brothers and sisters, that many people went down to him. Notice what we read in the next verses, verse 5. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan. Again, notice that, confessing their sins. Now, it must have been a scene to see. While normally everybody will go up, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Yes, that's the place that God has said. But the condition were not there. Unfortunately, there was a form without reality. Our nation, sadly enough, were not ready to accept the Messiah. They were not ready to accept the one who was called the messenger and the one who was the voice of the coming king, the coming Messiah. As a nation, not everyone, because there were many of our own Jewish people that did accept him, but as a nation, the spiritual leaders did not want to accept the message that John the Baptizer gave concerning Yeshua the Messiah. But the ordinary Israeli, the ordinary people, we read in verse 5, they went out unto him all the land of Judah. Notice that. And they of Jerusalem. And they were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, it sounds like every individual, all, but what really Mark is saying, there were plenty of people who were not happy with the system. And they went, they want to hear the word of the Lord. And you know, it reminds me, even in our days today, we live in the last days of the church age, we might say. And look at the condition. Look at the form, a lot of form, but the word of God is not found there. The person of the Messiah is not exalted. The truth of the scripture is set aside. That's what Paul said to Timothy. They have form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You know, it's so easy for us by nature, if we are not careful, to be religious, but have no reality, no relationship with the Lord. Religion is one of the sad things that men fall into. We want to have someone to worship, but we introduce our own human religion. You had there the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodian, and everyone was, you know, the conflict that existing between them and so on. There's a lot of form and yet no reality. Unfortunately, even today, beloved brothers and sisters, especially in the season of Pesach, our own families and people, God bless them, they keep the Passover, but they don't have forgiveness of sins. We go through the motion, but there is no knowledge that God, through the person of the Messiah, forgave my sins. And that's why it is important. It's not only our own Jewish people. In Christendom, it's the same thing. There's a form, but there is many who sit in the pew, sing the song, read the text, but never came into a relationship with the Lord Yeshua. They were going down to the Jordan. Notice it says here, they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, there is no accident with the usage of the word Jordan, Jordan. The Jordan River comes all the way from Mount Hermon in the north of Israel, where all the snow and the rain coming, And then the water is going down, 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 down to the Dead Sea. It's an expression of the necessity to go down, down, down in humility, in repentance, confessing our sins and turning our hearts and our life to the Lord. And by the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea, Yam HaMelach, where the Jordan River pour into, and then the water are no longer the same sweet water as they have in the beginning. They are ending up, they become salt water, water that you can no longer drink. And there is a message, very clear message, that he did not do it anywhere else up there, but he did it all the way in the Jordan River by the Dead Sea, there in the desert, where the people of Israel confessed their sins. All those that came to the Jordan River repented. They were baptized by him, repenting, confessing their sins. And you know, brothers and sisters, how God delights when we truly confess before him our sin and our sins, not only for salvation, but also in our daily life, we fail him many times. That's why 1 John 1:9 gives us a provision. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the way God is. He knows our hearts. He knows that we have failed God, that we are sinners by nature. But he delights when we turn to him and admit our condition. And he can, on the basis of the Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection, he can forgive us and restore us back to himself. This is so precious to see that. And you can just imagine the multitude going down from Jerusalem, going down from Judea, all the way down to the Jordan River there by the desert, and admitting before Yohanan, Yohanan, we have sinned. I identify with repentance, and I am willing to be baptized, to be put under water, to symbolize my death to sin, and I am thankful for the forgiveness of the Lord. And so you notice now, brothers and sisters, that in that area, in the Jordan River, by the Dead Sea area, where everyone came, then we can see the way that John was dressed and what he ate. You know, this was no wonder here, because it says here in verse 6, and John, Yohanan, he was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. Now, you notice, first of all, we find out that he was not dressed like suit and tie. And he was not have a jacket. He looks like, you know, I mean, first of all, what do you need a suit and tie in the wilderness? In the wilderness, you're only concerned about, number one, to be warm, because at night it's very cold. And number two, to be, as it were, covered. There's no fashion show there. It's not anybody to compare with who have a better dress or a better suit and tie. This was not that. The issue was he was serving the God of Israel. He was preparing the nation for the coming of the Messiah. So he was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. You see, apparently, how would you make a covering for him? You know, camel's hair, you take just like thread, you put it together, you make yarn, and you knit or you put together a covering for the body. And it is interesting because the way he dressed represented the way the prophets of old have dressed many years before him. Because if you just turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 1, how Elijah was dressed. Verses 7 and 8, it said, but he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answer him, he was an hairy man. The hairy man represent the fact he was dressed with hairy clothes, a clothes that has to do from an animal hair, and he girded about his girdle of leather about his loin. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite, Eliyahu HaTishbi. That camel's hair, this is a thread which was made into yarn and ultimately make the clothes. In other words, a prophet of old, the way he dressed was in a simple way, and it really represented the way all the prophets of Israel dressed when they were putting clothes on. They were very simple, very humble, just a way whereby you could identify the prophets of Israel. Here's another verse in Zechariah. Look at Zechariah chapter 13. Just some Old Testament verses, very interesting. Even the false prophets who wanted to appear as if they are the real prophets of Israel, they were pretending to be prophets by the way they have dressed. And notice that, Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 4. There we read, listen to these brothers and sisters, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of this vision, when he has prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive." You see, the prophets who wanted to deceive, they were wearing kind of a clothes that appear like they are prophets. Notice its expression, rough garment. It has to do with camel hairs and all these kind of hair that you make yarn, and out of it you make a garment to cover yourself. Even the false prophets have appeared like the true prophets, like Elijah, like Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptizer. They were simple men. They were living in the wilderness. They were godly men. They sought to lead the people of Israel back to our God, back to the Lord. So we find out that he was clothed about with camel's hair, and he was girded about with skin about his loins. He has skin, animal skin on his body, and he was close about with this camel's hair. And then it says, what did he eat? Notice, he ate locusts and wild honey. The Hebrew word here for locust is chagav or chagavim.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.